Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me this morning. I'm very pleased to share with you this morning. I have a returning guest who actually is a friend, ministry partner of many years, a resident here in Bakersfield who worked for 14 years for Kern County and private engineering firms. He's married to his wife of 50 years with four children and nine grandchildren. Also in 1985, he moved to Virginia for postgrad and doctoral work in ministry, theology, Christian education, and church administration. He's a licensed and ordained minister with the Evangelical Church Alliance in Bradley, Illinois, for over 30 years. My guest once again this morning is friend and ministry partner Will Wynn. Good morning, sir. Welcome back.
And good morning, Phil. My pleasure to be here with you.
I'm very glad you're here because we are going to be turning our attention this morning, and this will probably be just part one, because I'm confident we're probably going to have a lot to share with one another and discuss. It's probably going to take a couple of broadcasts.
I'm sure. Well, it raises quite a question. I mean, we have ministry to do. We have things to present the gospel in a way that people will receive that wonderful salvation that's available. But every now and then, we come into contact with things that threaten our faith.
Yes. There is absolutely no doubt that winds of huge social change have and continue to blow aimlessly across America. And I would offer, really, that we are in crisis mode. Consider same-sex marriage, I feel and therefore I am entitled, men and girls' bathrooms, the ongoing HIV/AIDS crisis, sexual addiction, pornography epidemic, gender confusion, sexual abuse, and sexual identity confusion. The truth of the matter is the crisis really has existed for decades, with the downward spiral beginning, I believe, with our accepting and welcoming Jesus into our theology, but not so much into our sexuality. Right now, as we speak, all eyes really need to be upon the state of California. If bad policies which are fervently being pushed are accepted in California, they usually start to spread to other states as well. For years, California has been testing the atmosphere around sexual identity politics. Right now, California Assembly Bill number 2943 is a bill that could possibly become law at any moment. It is a bill that has literally stunned observers around the country. The bill has the potential to censor Christian resources like books and conference materials and possibly even the gospel itself. Will, I would think that we are on the threshold of major persecution. How about you?
Well, I definitely think it's major persecution. It's an attack on us, for sure. And the problem is it kind of weighs against our heart in terms of the way we conduct our lives in God's kingdom and for the cause of Christ. Mm. All of a sudden we find ourselves in what I think was probably warfare. And yet the Bible is not confused about that. It says the weapons of our warfare are mighty.
Yes.
They are effective against strongholds that can come against us. This is definitely a major stronghold. And we need to somehow activate and get people in the body of Christ aware of what's really going on. And the one thing about this bill, as well as there are, I think, about two others that, are coming up that are similar to it, is that it's being done in a very deceptive and clandestine way, that it is not being promulgated, certainly by the media and or by any other prominent news sources. And we're really kind of a voice crying in the wilderness as we're trying to get the word out about what is coming down to impact our understanding of human sexuality, what God has to say about it, what the Creator has to say about it, and what is a direct threat to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. If passed, this bill, and again we were referring to California Assembly Bill 2943, the bill would outlaw any communication that is seen as an attempt to influence someone away from transgenderism or homosexuality, especially if that communication involves money changing hands. Ultimately, the bill threatens free speech and religious freedom. Our religious freedom is our first and foundational freedom, and as such, we must be vigilant to protect it. So let's look at what is happening from a very practical standpoint, remembering that this is ultimately all about people and not just about an issue. I really believe that an appropriate question to ask and consider is, how does this affect people of faith? Both Scripture and Christian teaching are clear about God's good plan for marriage and sexuality. God designed marriage to join one man and one woman in a committed, exclusive, lifelong relationship. Anything different is outside of God's plan. Certainly, under this misguided legislation that's trying to become law, anyone who proclaims this truth or offers help for those with unwanted homosexuality or transgenderism, whether behavior, thoughts, identity, or attractions, would be vulnerable to a lawsuit. Well, I think really at the heart of Christianity, and certainly there are other religions also, is the ideal that people can change and find true joy in embracing and living out their faith. And what concerns me, being an individual that was once bound by the brokenness of same-sex attraction, withhold the gospel, I don't see the hope.
Well, there isn't any hope without the gospel. Without resurrection understanding, we of all people are terribly, terribly hopeless. Yes. The thing that's interesting about this bill, Phil, is that it's being couched and hidden within a consumer business context. They're sneaking this through in under a piece of legislation that has to do with conducting business, and of course then they spin that over into any counseling organization or group, any church, or any other parachurch ministry that may have something to do with the LGBT preferences and political agenda. I think that's unconscionable. And again, the enemy is very deceptive.
Yes.
He is the deceiver. And we are under his onslaught. We need to remember right now that we have a warfare going on that we need to be, as Jesus, when he sent his disciples out, he said, you must be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. That sounds pretty political.
Yes.
But he understood that they were going to come up against things in the world that were going to be a direct challenge to what he was teaching them and what he was asking them to produce, to minister, and to bring forth healing in the society and the culture he was sending them out into.
Yes. Well, as you know, and I've shared with you many, many times, the topic of homosexuality is a topic that I speak to both personally and professionally. And what really, really concerns me, clearly what is transpiring here in the state of California, is an attempt by passing a law that would prevent people from having the freedom to pursue what brings true happiness and joy. Would you agree?
I would agree. And I question what they base all of this upon.
Yes.
I think you addressed it earlier when we were talking about we are really dealing with a group, an ever-increasing group of people that are operating out of their emotions and feelings and not out of an understanding of what God's Word has to say and even what sound wisdom and common sense has to say.
Yes.
They begin this bill with a lie, very frankly, We looked at it earlier. They begin this bill by saying the legislature, well, first of all, it says the people of the state of California, that includes you and me, do enact as follows. Well, I don't enact this, and I know you don't either, but they imply that somehow the people of California are going to enact this. The legislature finds and declares the following. Contemporary science recognizes that being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender is a part of the natural spectrum of human identity. Can you imagine that?
Which contradicts the authority of Scripture all over the place.
Well, not only that, but it contradicts science.
Yes.
Contemporary science does not. There is no study that exists that does that. In fact, prominent psychologists and psychiatrists from very high levels of leadership and understanding and of education and everything, there is no double-blind study that shows anything that says that a person could be born with anything other than a male or a female identity.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, 30 years of research have failed to find a genetic or a biological cause for the development of same-sex attractions. To date, there still is no conclusive evidence, no DNA testing, no medical test finding that science can point to proving someone is born homosexual.
Exactly.
That has always been a theory, and it's actually now been proven to be a lie.
Well, the thing is that the LGBT community has been desperately trying for 30 or 40 years to find that study, to try to find that DNA that says a person is a transgender or that he is something that is a combination of male and female. I mean, one of the latest terms out now in the acronym of LGBTQQ is GF, which is gender fluid. I have a daughter-in-law in education who ran into this in a girl in the high school where she was at. And the girl was greatly offended when they had a Sadie Hawkins dance because the colors in the gym were not in accordance with the way she felt, which was whatever that gender was, but that particular day. She went to the principal. The principal told them to immediately undecorate the gym and to redecorate it in different colors. The girl never came to the dance, but she said that she was gender fluid, meaning she can come to school and feel like she's a girl one day, come to school and say she's a boy the next day, or perhaps somewhere in between she changes. That is diabolically wrong.
Yes.
And it is a very, very confused young lady. And this legislation would not allow anyone to try to help her with that problem, with the confusion and the chaos of gender in her life.
And isn't it just absolutely totally amazing that we are largely looking at the passing of a law regarding sexual orientation, a sexual orientation that is not fixed?
Yes. Yep. Well, it is fixed. It's fixed at birth.
In another regard.
It's fixed at birth. And, of course, there was no problem with this up until the early 70s. When an organization that was highly respected at that particular time, although they were struggling within this because they were counseling people in homosexuality and trying to deal with that, they were dealing with it incorrectly because they were doing it from a secular standpoint.
Right.
The Bible says very clearly we are a triune being, body, soul, spirit. They were completely eliminating anything that had to do with the spiritual life of the individuals they were counseling because, first of all, they were not equipped to do it. Secondly, they were not anointed by God to do it because they didn't have any understanding or discerning concerning the spiritual life of an individual. But the American Psychological Association in 1973 decided, because they had had so much failure, that they would adopt a policy then of eliminating or removing the homosexual dysfunction out of their diagnostic and statistical manual, known as the DSM,
right,
which is the official list of mental disorders that all mental health professionals refer to when diagnosing patients. I have this in statistics. You can pick it up on the web. And in 1973, after intensive debate and numerous disturbances by gay activists at the time, the APA decided to remove homosexual activity from its manual. Now, that was not based on science.
No.
That was based on political pressure and let's also speak to the issue of the gender references within the APA,
yes,
the personal ones. And so in 1974, there was a group of 40% of the APA membership that wanted to put it back into the DSM, but because it was only 40%, they couldn't do that. It would not reverse the decision, and therefore homosexuality remains omitted from the APA's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. I don't know. They just completely are off track on this. And,
yes,
of course, because we understand from the Scripture, and this is so very true, out of the book of Corinthians, when Paul says, the things of the Spirit cannot be understood unless the Spirit of God is within that person.
Yes.
So if they have no spiritual understanding or spiritual discernment, they can't deal with probably what would be the issue, the need of that particular individual that's confused about their sexuality.
I'm one of those individuals. I remain convinced at the core of any habit, addiction, or compulsive behavior, we are ultimately talking about a spiritual problem which requires a spiritual solution, and His name is Jesus.
Absolutely. And you cannot deal with that as a secular, carnal man,
right,
or woman. And I don't know how to get that across, of course, because the world doesn't understand that. But here we are. We're coming up against this giant monster that is politically motivated, that is emotionally motivated, that has gained strength through deceived and... Let's bring in the next word of what is impacting people that are trying to understand this or that have misunderstood this. When we look at what Romans 1 has to say and what the Apostle Paul says,
yes,
and he depicts the perversion of homosexual sexual behavior in that, and he says when they end up rejecting that, it says God has given them over to a reprobate mind.
Yes.
There's a depravity that occurs in the mental processes of people that reject this, and that's what's happened out there. And even within judges right now that sit on the bench who have rendered decisions in regards to homosexuality across the nation have ultimately ended up saying that they were homosexual.
Yes.
And that they thoroughly agreed with the agenda from the gay community. They should have recused themselves, obviously, but they didn't. They went ahead and made those decisions. How did they make them? From reprobate thinking.
I'm going to tag on to your statement just a moment ago. Here we are. I really believe it was probably about 15, 16, 17 years ago. His Way Out Ministries began ringing the alarm bell then. If you think this is all just about gay rights, please wake up. And as you said a moment ago, here we are.
Exactly.
The bill, again, number 2943, would prevent a counselor from helping an adult client explore all options to address questions over sexual orientation, an author from selling a book challenging gender identity ideology, and even a church from hosting a ticketed conference addressing issues of sexuality and identity. Scripturally speaking, let's talk a bit about what God has to say again in His Word regarding homosexual practice. And to do so, I really believe we have to return to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2,
sure,
which I often refer to as God's blueprint, mm-hmm, for human sexuality. Clearly, in the beginning, God had a divine intent. He had a plan. God ultimately sees after creating the man, it was not good for him to be alone. God determines He's going to give the man a suitable helper, the perfect complement. And God determined from the beginning, the suitable helper for the man was then, is now, and shall forever be a woman. That was God's plan from the beginning. It remains His plan today.
Well, absolutely. And a woman cannot reproduce by herself.
Exactly.
And so we run into this situation where we have this incredible creative story where we literally have Adam, the first created being, where he was by himself and God said, that's not good, that man should not be alone. And God literally brought the woman to him when he cried out, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, when he realized that this was the partner he needed. And by the way, God had taken him throughout creation to look for the proper partner. Of course, all of the others were rejected, which they should be. because man should not be involved in a relationship with beasts,
mm-hmm. yes,
or a plant or a tree or whatever else you want to come up with. The thing that is remarkable about this is you have this co-equal existence of man and woman in the beginning, before the fall. And then the interesting part of that is that even the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil carries some sexual connotation. Because before they ate, it said they were naked and they were not ashamed. After they ate, all of a sudden, whoops, they were naked. And of course, when they announced that to God after they had tried to cover themselves with foliage,
yes,
he said, "Who told you were naked?" Mm-hmm. All right. Then, of course, came the curse in Genesis 3, which, interestingly enough, contains sexuality within what was going to transpire. In the co-equalness of man and woman, and I'm not putting women down, I've got an incredibly powerful wife, and I love her to pieces, and I don't know what I would do without her. In fact, she has brought wisdom and understanding to me in situations far beyond what I had at the time. Mm-hmm. But working together, we're a team, not only in life and marriage, but in ministry and in understanding the things of the Lord. We have great discussions, which is a wonderful thing to have in your home. But after the fall, women were going to be ruled over by that nasty man, that guy, that male chauvinist all of a sudden that emerged. I don't know whether Adam wanted that role. But the other part that's very interesting to me is that God increased the distress, the pain, the discomfort in childbirth to women in the curse. I'll tell you, there are things in human sexuality, Phil, all through the Scripture. It is so vitally important for us to understand God's plan for human sexuality.
Yes.
When we get outside of that natural bound into the unnatural, which, of course, is part of the fallen nature within us, and I'm going to tell you that any depravity that we see in the world today is not new.
You're right.
It's old stuff. It's all right. I mean, even as we look at male homosexuality, the description of that behavior was sodomy.
Right.
And those that participated in it were sodomites.
Yes.
Clearly understood for hundreds of years. And by the way, I think you gave me a little note not too long about the high court in Trinidad, Tobago.
Right.
That they had... What? They had...
Well, there had been a major push in Trinidad and Tobago to overturn buggery laws, which criminalized the act of sodomy, homosexual and heterosexual. And just last week, that was ruled unconstitutional. And the concern has been all along, as it remains, is that now it has opened the door to legalizing same-sex marriage in their two-island nation.
Yeah. On one hand, from a common-sense secular position, I would say, okay, keep it to yourself. Keep it behind closed doors. That's an issue of your behavior that you need to be accountable privately for. You don't need to spill out in the streets in gay rights and gay recognition and LGBT parades that, of course, turn into a debauchery of display so often. Just keep it to yourself. Now, let that be something between you and God. You don't need to force that on us.
Yes. And it's also very, very important for us to keep the right perspective. As a Christian, and let's define that, when you and I say that we're a Christian, we are literally saying that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and we take the Bible in its entirety or not at all. We do not have the luxury of randomly selecting portions of Scripture and discarding the rest. And God clearly, in His Word, has a lot to say about human sexuality. So for me, and I know a multitude of others, scripturally speaking, it is impossible to validate, endorse, or accept homosexual practice in any form to any degree from Scripture. It simply cannot be done.
No, it cannot be. I mean, David writes so famously a word, Scripture, that probably a lot of people that are listening to us right now, if not most, said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart."
Yes.
Why? "That I might not sin against thee."
Yes.
Okay. Said, "Thy word is a light or a lamp unto my feet." a light to my path, indicating that it is something that we walk in, that we live by.
I think it's also important for us to mention that we are sexual beings. That's how God created us. And our sexuality is not evil. Where we get in trouble is we take matters in our own hands. And when we cross God's well-defined holy boundary lines for sexual expression, we bring the possibility of horrific consequences our way. That was not His planned intention. We were disobedient, and we brought those factors into our life because we were rebellious.
That's true. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask our audience a question. Where do you think the standards and rules for sexuality came from?
Exactly.
I mean, how long have we known that these rules, the standards, those boundaries that God set are so vitally important for us to understand, because He knows best. Father knows best.
Exactly.
Our God knows best. It's so vitally important for us to realize that these are rules and things, yeah, they're within us. They're within us. They're in our hearts and in our minds. But the authority of the Scripture is what works in us to help us to say, we're not only accountable to ourselves and to those around us, but we're going to ultimately be accountable to God.
You know, also, I would like to share that, again, being a person who was once bound by the gay factor, if you will, for lack of a better expression, I lost far too many friends, many of which, unfortunately, became so impacted by over their celebration of gay that it did horrible things in their lives, brought horrible consequences their way. As a matter of fact, I don't know of a single man, and I knew several during my 17 years as being a gay-identified man, the men that I knew that personally took their lives, tragically,
yes, yeah,
they did not do so because they were trying to resolve their same-sex attraction. It happened because over their celebration of gay. The Bible's very clear. Sin is fun for a season. Define season. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Mm. But I know this. Payday comes.
Yes, it does.
And when you cross God's boundary lines, once again, the consequences can be severe. And I would submit the reason God has been so crystal clear in His Word about our living within those holy boundary lines, He is doing His utmost to protect us from unseen danger.
Amen. And we need to live lives of repentance. And I know as we're speaking of this whole thing, we don't want to come across as condemning people.
No, we don't.
We don't want to condemn people. I mean, we're speaking at each other, to each other, brother, as two sinners forgiven by Jesus Christ, and we have the confidence of the shed blood of Jesus Christ as He gave it on Calvary to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to give us that fellowship with each other. That's what we want, and if you're listening today, that's what God wants for your life.
Absolutely. I preface before we jumped into this deep water, this would probably be just part one, and yeah, so it is. So we're going to wind up this particular session and hope that each and every one of you listening this morning will join us again next Saturday as we continue taking a look at what's happening very specifically in the state of California, which in all probability has considerable possibility of spreading across America. So again, thanks for tuning in. Till next week, same time, same station. Our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.